Good, eh? So, yeah, as Paul kind of said, this is really a kind of bit of a sort of taking stock. Where are we as a church? We tend to follow the kind of academic year a bit in terms of how we organize ourselves. We've kind of September and January are quite key launch times. And after this Sunday, we move a bit into a kind of summer resty kind of zone. So I'd like to speak about how I think we're doing as a church in terms of what we're building this year and where we're going. I'm not going to speak about everything by any means. It's just going to be a few areas. Before we get into it, though, I just want to read, because I haven't really got a passage that I'm working from the Bible, but I don't like the idea of not mentioning the Bible in a talk. And I feel jittery about that. But equally, don't want to try and crowbar it in to fit what I'm saying. So here's a little excerpt from Jesus. He's been, John chapter 4. Hi, Christy. John chapter 4, and he's been with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. And he's basically just shown this woman, who is kind of an outcast from society, just shown her real compassion, that he really knows her, that he accepts her, that he loves her, and her world's just turned upside down. And as a result of this one person's world being turned upside down, the whole village has changed. So, and this is something that he says. His disciples go off to get some food while this is going on, and they come back. John chapter 4, verses 31 to 34. Meanwhile, Jesus' disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him some food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Boom. There we go. So I'm gonna speak us through really kind of six areas in this. A few of them are crunched together. But we've got four priorities that we've been working on as a church this year, and I want to go through those and then also mention a couple of other ones as well. And really just to kind of say a bit about how it's going, my perspective, and this is something I really welcome feedback on. I'd really love to hear in the next days, weeks, any response that you have from what it's like from your perspective being part of this as well. And if you're new to Hope or visiting, you know, equally, hopefully you can, through this, you can get a sense of who we are as a church, what we feel God's doing, and be encouraged by that. So the first area is prayer. That's one of our focuses for the year. And the call to be a prayer center for the city is a big part of our origin story as a church, of when Hope started back in 2000 as a new church in an old chapel building. There's some, I don't know if you heard many of the stories, but there's some crazy ones with Silas when he was like in Uganda, for example, and a guy he'd never met before came up to him, and I can't do the accent like Silas can, but he sort of pointed at him and said, "You are going to build a 24/7 prayer center for your city." And this is at the same time as Silas was considering this sense of God's leadership. And now for us as Hope, we're really recognized amongst the churches and the Christian community in Bristol as hosting a prayer center for the city. And when I meet with other church leaders, you know, they're really supportive of that, really affirming of recognizing Hope's position in Bristol with prayer. And so our focus this year in terms of prayer has been looking at how do we continue to grow that vision. You know, things went a bit quiet during the COVID years, and things, sort of, a lot of stuff sort of slowed down, didn't it? And two of the particular ways, or one of the particular ways that we've engaged with this growing in prayer this year, is we've asked God's House to come and teach us how to pray, because they've got such a rich and deep prayer life, and they're a church that we partner with. I've got a little video clip, Dan, if we can show this. So in December last year, they came as a whole church. We had a joint service with them here. Abraham is teaching on prayer, prayer and fasting. Here's Abraham. And then afterwards, do let that play. The worship just kind of carried on afterwards. And I love this spontaneous youth worshipping. It's just a kind of a nice cat. Watch Ossian here. That's Pastor Fatima on the right. And then Ossian's going to get into dance mode pretty shortly. Here he comes. He's very good. He's straight in there. I I thought that captured a little bit of the of some of the joy that was in the room as we were worshipping. So we said to them, would you teach us how to pray and, as you do? And their pattern, they're pretty hardcore. I think it's something like January through the whole of February, like 2 months. They'll pray and fast for that whole 2 months. We said, we do it. Let's try a week. and so we did it in their style of, we did it at the end of January, and we didn't eat through the daytime. Most, there's variations of this, but the sort of main thing was we didn't eat during the daytime. And then in the evenings, we'd break our fast at 6. And then we had an early morning Zoom and then an evening Zoom. So we sort of started and ended the day together. And many people found that to be a really rich time and a fresh experience, such that I thought I'd read back some of the kind of, I've got about 20 bullet points of people's kind of experiences of that week, which I think together gives quite a good summary. I've never fasted on consecutive days like that before. Beautiful shifts in terms of family dynamics and guidance, but painful in terms of facing up to unanswered prayer. Taste of breakthrough in terms of ongoing situation we've been praying for. My faith had grown quite cold in recent months. I wasn't connecting with God on Sundays and was blaming God. Alice's talk really spoke to me. Then when I started fasting, I felt very close to God again. He's been talking to me lots. Love the week and the Zoom meetings, particularly moved by contributions of Fatima, Ossian and Abraham's generous participation. Noticed subtle shifts in being able to trust God more and were encouraged by speedy turnaround in a family situation. I felt God sustain me in fasting in a new way. This was the first time we'd fasted as a family. It brought us closer to God as a family and each other. Over the course of the fasting time, it was like a veil had been lifted on my thoughts so I could see things that I hadn't seen before. I found the week really encouraging and enjoyed getting back into the habit of starting the day intentionally with God. I was praying particularly for breakthrough in a few areas and have already seen significant shifts. We worshipped together as a family most evenings for half an hour, which was precious. I felt a better connection to the Holy Spirit and encouraged to pray for others and certain issues. We can see that fasting is going to be a key for us moving forwards. It feels like this could be what we've been missing. Also, it felt like we're entering holy ground when we choose to sacrifice. I saw a shift in a family situation. I had really clear direction about the way ahead for our boat, which was super encouraging, both to have it and in what it was. Plus, I love the structure. It works so well. We fasted sugar as a family. We experienced faith-filled family prayer times together in a new, fresh way. That was the first time I've fasted in community. I love the experience of being in it together, feeling physically weak and cold at the same time, and seeing each other and praying together in Zooms. There was, for me, a sense of God's quiet but weighty presence through the week that actually made me want to go on fasting. I found myself craving time with God. So I thought that was really rich, you know, coming from right across the church, these different experiences of that week of prayer and fasting. Then we've kind of carried on in our monthly rhythm of first Tuesday of each month praying. Organic worship has now joined in with that on moving to the first Wednesday of each month. And then we were, this Sunday just gone, we had the Koreans with us, didn't we? So we had a week of the Koreans being here, a Korean prayer team. And I personally was quite close to them all week. I was driving this. I had fun driving a minibus. I was just saying to Stan, I really like, you can drive in the bus lanes when you've got a minibus. So I was like swerving over the road to jump into a bus lane at every opportunity. But it was good as well to be praying with the Koreans. And I'd actually forgotten that sort of taste of earlier in the year during the prayer and fasting week, that sort of sense of God's increased presence and sort of closeness through the experience of fasting. I'd forgotten about that and then sort of tasted it again as we were praying with the Koreans. And I was like, oh yeah, this is when the sort of intensity of prayer rises, there is this kind of grace and this kind of favor that sort of comes. So I really benefited from that. I'm conscious that I don't think we connected with it as well as a whole church. And I think that's probably maybe partly the time of year, partly communication and sort of forward planning and so on. But I'm kind of wondering, is there a way next year that we can do that some more? So that's my first area. I was looking at prayer this year and how that's going. And there's a few observations from me. I'd love to hear, you know, what your experiences have been. The next one, next one of our focuses for the year has been city stitching. So this came from a challenge from Marvin when he was mayor back in about, I think it was about 2016. He said that the Bristol was divided along lines of race and class, and actually so is the church. The church should lead the way in overcoming that and stitching the city together. So that was the sort of starting point for our partnership with God's House, a church of very different culture to ours. Let's become friends. Let's do life together. Let's follow Jesus together. And we had this Pentecost event in Canon's House, the old Lloyd's building on the harbour side, a month or so ago on Pentecost. We were a really key Hope Chapel in organising that, initiating that. Julia Loveless project managed it brilliantly. People were on team in different ways. And I've got a little video clip. This is the next little video clip here. Because what I thought was so special about that was the richness that there was. There were about 550 people there. The richness there was of friendship and love between people from, again, across class, race, backgrounds, all different types of churches. And this little video clip, I think, just communicates a little bit of that warmth of unity that was present in the room. Can you play this bit? And I would want to say to us, kind of discreetly, that I think our partnership with God's house is being, again, is having an influence around the city. This is something cool that I'm hearing as I'm talking to other churches, and people are noticing, it's quite a radical thing that you guys hold joint services together. We had our joint baptism together, didn't we, a few weeks ago at Maize Green Farm, and we had that December with Abraham, and they came and joined us for Living Free this year, and we've been doing these different partnership opportunities. And so in terms of that call to City Stitch and for the church to lead the way, I think the exciting thing is I think it's really happening. With the Koreans the other week, we went to visit Eastern Christian Family Center. And this isn't necessarily because of our influence. Perhaps it's something that God's doing more broadly anyway. But there was a real evidence there for me of this City Stitching happening as well. In that, so ECFC is an Anglican church, Church of England church. It was probably historically mostly white, I imagine. They do a lot of work now with Iranian refugees who've joined the church and people from Middle Eastern countries. But they're also really partnering with House of Praise, which is a church that's got lots of Caribbean heritage people as part of that church. And David Moore, the vicar there, was just saying to me, we're really loving partnering from across Eastern. And it's another example, I think, of churches working together. And I hear this in kind of church leader conversations and stuff, that it's happening. So that challenge from Marvin, which we've been part of, seems to be happening across the city. And I wonder, you know, how far this can go and what the fruit and the healing that we can see in the years to come will be. I'm really excited. I'm really excited by that. So our partnership with God's house will continue. We've also got a lady called Rosie Hopley coming to speak in November. So she's a brilliant lady. Andy looks like he knows her from that little smirk. She started Beloved, which you may have heard of. And we have some connections with Beloved, and which is a ministry reaching out to people, women who work on the streets. And she's now runs a ministry called the Reconciled Church, and which is looking into these issues of race and reconciliation. And Fatima went on a retreat with them about a month ago, and just had a wonderful time. So I'm excited about Rosie coming to speak with us and help us on this journey of reconciliation, healing, stitching the city together. So that's two of our areas, kind of my view. And again, always really welcome your perspectives. I want to move on to under 18s now. Not a particular one of our four. So our four focuses for the year. Alice reckons nobody will know what these are. They're just all in my head. But they're prayer, city stitching, mind renewal, which is our teaching series on what is the good news, and then faith sharing. That there are four things. So I'm going to come back to those last two shortly. But wanted to mention something on under 18s. And it's been an encouraging year. I don't know how many, probably 8, 9, 10 of our youth have been baptized over the last year, which are a really good expression of their owning their faith and their public declaration of their faith. And something that we've been talking about quite a lot is, so Alice and myself and Meredith and Charlie and Micah as well, is the importance of cohorts and friendships. And I think there's something that we've been growing in, and I'm conscious that it's not working universally across the thing. But I think this is true for us as adults too. When we meet as a gathered community like this, you want to have a friend, right? You want to have someone that you go into the space and you know someone, and really recognizing that can kind of sound unspiritual in a way, but it's a simplicity of this is humanity. We need to have, and just seeing that the importance of cohorts growing together, and building that kind of critical mass of community that then others can be drawn into, is really important. So. If you're not in involved in the youth world, you might not know that Charlie's been running something called The Table for some time, which is kind of older youth, once a month, meeting around dinner. And then other cohort forms, which have been, so this is a newer one called Feast, which is girls, again, around often around a table. And then there's Expo, which is taking boys out on kind of a challenging adventure of some sort. And then Mike has recently started The Crypt on Friday nights, again, for kind of a younger cohort. So really looking to kind of build these cohorts within young people. And it's been great seeing Meredith, as she's sort of galvanizing little gems into a community and kids as well, and seeing those groups thrive. And I'm conscious that when Alice and I, so we've got our children are 16, 14, 12, so they're in that kind of youth age now. Conscious that when we pray for them, we can't just pray for them as individuals. Actually, you have to do it. You have to, by nature, be praying for the wider community as well. I heard, do you know Tyler Statton? He's the guy that wrote this really good book on prayer, praying like monks, living like fools. I heard him speak at a conference last year, and he said, sociologists have observed that you can pretty accurately predict how someone's going to turn out based on three things: the company they keep, the people that they're with, the story they inhabit, the kind of mindset that they inhabit, and the third one was the practices that they keep. So yeah, really, really conscious of that. Helping our young people to connect with each other, and I'm conscious, you know, that we haven't done that brilliant. You know, there's gaps, and there's people that aren't connecting, and so this isn't it's not a done thing, but this is an important part of us as we pray for our young people, as we steward, looking to build cohorts. This year, we've also been focusing on how do we help children and adults with additional needs to be welcomed and able to participate and connected, and again, that's these are growth needs for us, things for us to grow stronger in and give more attention to in prayer. So that's a little view on under 18s, and then community is my next area, which I also just wanted to add in. And back in 2016, we felt God say to us to make hope more accessible to people outside the church, to have more of a missional focus as a church. So what we did, we stopped our midweek small groups, our kind of classic life groups, cell groups, home groups, and we said we're only going to start groups that have got a missional focus. And we called them boats, inspired by this vision that was had back in 2004 of Hope being a church which is kind of made of both shore and boats being sent out. And so The brief was that two or more Hopers could develop a missional vision, and others could join them, and then we'd launch and pray for their ministry as a boat. And I went through and had a look yesterday at a list of the different boats that we've had since then. And I remember one actually that Paul and Ollie Hall did. Do you remember that? It was called Finding Purpose. And what was the website that you used to, was it Meetup or something? Yeah, so using a website called Meetup, found a meeting space in the centre of Bristol, and basically invited people to come and talk about finding purpose. And you got loads of people, 40, 50, maybe even more than that people. A couple of hundred people. Wow. And it was a really exciting season that was one of the boats. Others that we had that aren't running anymore, because these were not necessarily designed to be forever things. But Night Shelter, Aaron started the Night Shelter. Little Stars, Creatives, Walking in Victory, Young Adult Community, Paths and Pints, Feel Good Cafe, Prayer Day, Bible Book Club. And then our current sort of fleet of boats include Celebrate Recovery, Hope on Wednesday, Soup Run, Ukraine Hub, Housing Festival, Streams Learning Hub, Hope Meals, Food Bank, Hope Rise, The Well, Noel West, Big Vision, and Renew Physical Prayer. So, and then by about 2022, I think it was 2022, we recognized that actually it would be helpful for our community building to also have some more kind of classic life groups, cell groups, home groups, for people for whom maybe their day job is really intense and or is a kind of ministry type day job. And so having a missional community didn't quite fit with supporting their journey of faith. So we started a couple of years ago some more classic life groups, home groups. And I'm really interested to hear, this is some of the feedback I'd love to hear, is what's the quality of our community, a smaller community within the church, like now? And I think you can measure these things in different ways. You can measure it through numbers, like how many groups do we have? But I don't actually think that's the best way of doing it. I think it's much better to look at health. And I think a few key questions are, am I growing in my faith together with others? That's it. And then am I maybe mentoring others or supporting others in their faith? And what was my third one? My third question of it. Am I part of a community that outsiders can join? So I think those are quite helpful sort of measures of smaller community health. So am I growing in my faith? Am I supporting, investing in others? Am I part of a community, small community that others can join? So interested in knowing what these things are like for you. And so that's a little bit on community. And then my last section here is on is mind renewal and faith sharing. And I'm gonna put these two together. We've been in this teaching series this year on what is the good news, and I think it's all quite linked to our faith sharing too. Our belief about how the world works, what's the nature of God, how is this whole thing set up, how do I connect with God? These are all massive like drivers of how we live, and they're not like abstract, distant theological concepts. They're the subtle internal ways in which we see the world that will just shape everything about how we do life. And I'm going to give now a bit of an oversimplification, which I think underrepresents the love and faith people have had in years gone by. But I do think it's still right to say that for large parts of the church, for a lot of time, the kind of motivation for faith sharing has been, I've got to save people from going to hell. And without getting too much into that, that's, it's a motivation that's driven by fear and guilt. And actually, it's really successful. You know, this was part of the Reformation, was born into a controlling church environment where people were politically and financially wealthy, and they used their positions of leadership to scare people into conformity and so on. And that is, you know, praise God, it's not been as bad as that for many centuries in most of the church. But there's been this subtlety, and I think it's an example of yes, that fear motive might get people into the church, but it doesn't make you into a healthy Christian. It doesn't give you a healthy view on who God is and what God's like and what it's like to know God. And so what we're doing in this, the reason that we're getting into what is the good news, is that we want to be a church that can share our faith in a pure and a whole and a loving way. I'll give a couple of examples just from my own life. We're talking about it in our pre-match prayers. Our thing was, what's your preferred summer footwear? And I was remembering how I spent a year in Australia doing some missionary stuff, and I would walk around barefoot the whole, probably for like 6 months, going into town in barefoot. Anyway, whilst I was part of this Christian community, I remember writing on my hand a few times, Jesus wants you to die. And I just had that on my hand for probably a few weeks. And what my mentor there was like, Chris, he also wants you to live. I didn't really get that part. And also part of this Christian community, I cringe at some of the things that I did. I'm really embarrassed. But I went into a school and I said to, I think, a whole assembly, you guys are aware you're going to hell, to all these school children. And sorry, some of you, yeah, that was what I did. And conscious that in those things, I wasn't communicating the love and the compassion of Jesus. That wasn't what I was communicating. Maybe these are more extreme examples, but it's been great having Bill take us through Romans, Paul bring quite a lot of teaching over the last couple of years, and Alice, like, what is the good news? Because I think for a lot of us, that's a more extreme example that I gave probably than any of you in the room. But there are these subtleties of like how we perceive God, how we perceive ourselves, what we understand the Christian life is. It comes out and it shapes everything. And I think part of who we are designed to be as a church, and this is some of our history and our legacy, is that we are a people that don't shy away from like difficult conversations. It's good when we cry in church, you know. I appreciate Katie's rawness. This is the sort of church that we want to be and that we have been and that we are, that we're real about these things because we have a confidence that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And as we become more like him, as we take these things to Jesus, we'll grow into life and truth and freedom. So my kind of hope and expectation is that we will be a church that shares the gospel, shares the good news of Jesus from a place of real purity and love and in a Christ-like way. I don't think any other way will work nowadays, which I think is frankly quite good, quite good news. So, the other example that I was going to give of myself, where I think a reframing, and I've shared this, some of you all have heard this before, but for me, Sunday morning, I went through a season of Sunday mornings being really quite stressful times for me that would manifest in my bowel movements. And I don't like talking about toiletry stuff normally, but I would be really stressed. I would want Sunday mornings to be a time when people come to Hope and just have a powerful encounter with God. And I think I would overemphasize my part in that. And it's complicated, isn't it? Because God doesn't just zap us, or doesn't just zap the world from above in an abstract kind of way. He works through people. And so we're really important. The relationship that we have with God and the way he mediates his stuff through us. So, you know, what I do is important. But I think it was to the extent where, you know, pretty reliably, 8:39 Sunday morning, I'd have diarrhea before church. I never have diarrhea. It happened every Sunday. I still actually do get my watch. It's quite funny. 9:45. It'll say to me, it'll buzz and say, "Chris, you have unusually high stress levels. Can I recommend a breathing exercise?" But what really changed for me was when Paul talked about the Trinity and talked about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that we're invited into that, you know, the four chairs picture where you've got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit sitting in relationship like this, and I did have a bit of a God is an angry abstract father concept, but the change of like actually with Christ I'm invited into this participatory relationship with God literally changed my bowel movements. Isn't that extraordinary? It literally changed, and it's been healed ever since. It's a level of peace and so on that I have on Sundays. I just think that's an example of the our understanding, our comprehension of God, the gospel, the good news. It affects how we live. It changes how we live. So I'm excited, I think, over the next couple of years, as I think we continue to immerse ourselves in this, that we can be entering into more freedom. So, you've heard about my lavatorial experiences. I've taken you through through six areas that's kind of my view on how some of how we're doing as Hope. There's loads of areas that I've missed, loads of areas, but I wanted to look at those four things: so prayer, city stitching, mind renewal, faith sharing, and also wanted to touch on under 18s and community as well. You know, I wonder, as I've been talking, you kind of think about your own place within Hope, or if you're newer to Hope, you know, you've got a bit of a story there of a bit of some of who we are as a church. And I basically think that God's positioned us and a call on us. Doug said earlier, it feels like we punch above our weight. And I think as a church, and we are recognized, and we do have this influence in the city. I think God's design is for us as a church is to be a people that facilitate the God's kingdom coming in Bristol. And I don't want to over egg Hope as being too special. That feels a bit inappropriate, really. But part of it is it's the nature of the Christian life, isn't it? It's the nature of being a child of God, is that we get this extraordinary invitation, opportunity to be seated with
together with God and to influence the world for good and for blessing. So as we position ourselves to do that, and Alice was talking a bit about the prodigal, if you heard her talk a few weeks ago, the prodigal West returning. And so I think for us to move more into being ready for people to come to know Jesus, being ready to serve our city, and by that I mean Greater Bristol. I don't just mean those who live in the city of Bristol. I wanted to just affirm these three areas that I think are important for us to continue to go deep in, and I've kind of touched on them already. The first one is in community, and walking closely with others in a way that they're growing as part of a smaller community within our larger church community that shows a better way of life that comes from walking with Jesus. And I'm conscious that this doesn't happen. It's not a quick and easy thing. Often finding people to walk with and be in community with is actually really hard work. It's quite costly. You face rejection and insignificance. It's really not an easy thing. It's often quite a long haul thing. But but Christian community is a thing to really go after. Secondly, in prayer, and having a depth to our prayer life that moves us beyond just the fruitfulness of our natural skills and gifts into a life of partnership with God that sees His above and beyond blessing and fruit. So that's the second area. And then the third one I've spoken about quite a lot is in our minds. So it's being renewed in our understanding of who God is, what the good news is, what the gospel is, and how His good news changes everything. So those are my three areas, I think, that I'd encourage us to continue to go deep in. And that's a question that you can kind of ask and discuss for your personal setting, is what's Christian community like? What's my life of prayer like? And how is my mind being renewed? And I think those three together will really help to strengthen us for what God has for us in the time ahead.
Thanks, Chris. I thought we've got just over 10 minutes. Are you going to send those questions out, Chris? Yeah. I saw a couple of people making notes, but I think if they don't come out on the email, I'm not going to remember. I thought what might be good to do now is just reflect, just take a moment, two questions, not to throw other ones, but just for us now. One is, what do you have from the last year? Just think one thing that you want to be thankful for or just give thanks to God for that has fit into this theme, or even not, but particularly that's fit into the theme of what Chris has shared. And then the second thing is keeping in mind these points of calibration that we've been looking around as a church. What do you want to see happen for yourself and family or people close to you, and also for the church in the next academic year? And if you're anything like me, I kind of take longer than 10 minutes to think about that before I'm going to pray it. But if you want to, and you can do it quickly, then maybe around the tables, just in twos or threes, to just quickly share and pray that through. So if you're giving thanks for something, then share that so others can join in with you as well. And then things that you want to see happen, either for yourself or family or for the church, that we can just pray and agree together for those. And if you're particularly quick and have any space to listen, if the Father, Son, and Spirit are speaking anything particularly into those that might be either for you or to share feedback to the church, that might be a good way for us to land it. So I'll just pray to close, and then do this however you want to do it. If you just want to do this on your own, or you want to take off, then go for that. Or you want to get straight into discussion, however you best process, there's no rules to that. So Father, just generally, we thank you for all of this, all of these milestones and new innovations and points of breakthrough that we've had as a church over this last season, and for a few of those highlights that Chris has shared with us today. And we want to agree together as a community that we thank you for what's gone before, but we also understand with the Apostle Paul, forgetting what is behind, we want to look towards what lies ahead. So Holy Spirit, would you give us vision and perspective for the future and guide us into this next period of time? And I bless the whole of the summer, any holidays, going away, downtime, that would be restorative time spiritually for all of us and for everyone who's not even here in the room, that it would be a real sense of spiritual and personal renewal and refreshment and an enlivening of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.